Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Morning.
Good morning. Take a few minutes and get organized. We're having a little bit of difficulty with our lights, although so far there's been consistency, but if there should be any dimming, don't be thrown by it. We'll work with it.
All right.
And Councilor Pellin, if you're ready to begin, we are.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Stephen Budke. I represent the petitioner and now appellant, Michael John Smoody. Two issues in this case that are somewhat related, whether or not Mr. Smoody's right to counsel during the implied consent testing process was vindicated, and also whether or not he actually refused to take a test. Mr. Smoody was advised during the ICA that he had a right to speak with an attorney. He had made some attempts to contact an attorney and was waiting for a call back from one of them with whom he was able to leave a message. During the time that he was trying to contact attorneys, waiting for somebody to call him back, the officer was not simply a passive participant in the room. He was actively engaged in conversation with Mr. Smoody about current events, about all sorts of things. So the amount of time that passed needs to be looked at in the context of what was actually being done in that room. Also during that time, Mr. Smoody was allowed to step out for a bathroom break.
I want to make sure I'm understanding this. So the give and take conversation between the officer and your client, are you saying that that means that his time should be elongated because it interfered with his ability to contact an attorney?
Not as any sort of bright line rule that requires a minute for minute credit on the conversation and the attorney time, but more.
Tell me how he was denied the ongoing opportunity to make another phone call or do something like that because of conversation.
Oh, certainly, and I don't believe that he was necessarily denied opportunities during that time period. It was simply when you look at how the question was posed to him at the end of whether or not he will take a test, it seemed to come out of nowhere that the officer said that he was deeming it a refusal because of the act of conversation, because there didn't seem to be any sense of urgency during that attorney time. My overarching, thesis in this case is that the rug should not be pulled out from underneath somebody. When we're talking about significant consequences as a result of the decision to take a test or not take a test, we don't want drivers being blindsided. That's why we have the implied consent advisory. That's why they're given the opportunity to speak to an attorney. And during that time, they're allowed to reflect on that decision. Mr. Smoody had the rug pulled out from underneath him. He was actively engaged in conversation. He was trying to seek an attorney. And then towards the end of this, the officer said, "Are you going to take a test?" And Mr. Smoody said, "I want to talk to an attorney first," which under the circumstances of that attorney time and how that had unfolded, it seemed reasonable to Mr. Smoody that he was going to be given more time to do so. He thought he was just reemphasizing his initial statement that he wanted to speak to an attorney. He did not appreciate that that was going to be deemed a refusal. I believe this is highlighted by the trooper's testimony on direct exam. On direct exam, he indicated that he gave a 5 or 10 minute warning to Mr. Smoody to wrap it up and make a decision. When pressed on that on cross-exam, he backed off that position because no such warning was actually given. Again, I'm not asking that this court establish a bright line rule that a driver must be given a 5 or 10 minute warning. But under these circumstances, given the context of that discussion and that passage of time, even the trooper, upon review of his file, deemed that it would have been reasonable to give some sort of warning, give some sort of indication that time is running out, you have to make a decision, or we're going to be deeming this a refusal. That did not happen here. The judge, during the implied consent hearing, asked one question, and that was how much time had passed. And I agree, 44 minutes is a significant amount of time that passes. But we cannot just look at the total amount of time that's passed. We have to look at what happens in there. So coming back to Your Honor's question, that's why I believe it's significant that the officer was actively engaged in conversation. Also, during the implied consent hearing, the trooper testified that Mr. Smoody was not playing games from his estimation, that he was not doing anything to frustrate the purpose, that he believed that he was genuinely waiting for a call back from an attorney. And I know that this court has held before that an individual doesn't necessarily have a right to wait for one specific attorney to return their call, and I'm not suggesting that Mr. Smoody necessarily did. Again, it comes down to whether or not somebody should be blindsided by that decision to deem something a refusal. I believe that's what happened here with Mr. Smoody. The commissioner has cited the Parker case, an unpublished decision that at first blush does seem fairly on point, but it is distinguishable here because in that case, the driver actually asked the officer, well, what's going to happen if I can't get a hold of somebody? And he was told, you're going to have to make a decision, you take the test, or if you refuse to, you're going to stay here and spend the night in jail. Problems with that statement from my estimation, but regardless, there was some conversation about what was going to happen if he did not make a decision, if he did not continue trying to find somebody, and if somebody had not called him back. Outside of the issue with the statement about staying in jail, I do not disagree with the holding in Parker because he was made aware of those consequences at the time he was specifically asked whether or not he was going to take a test. Mr. Smoody was not. This was a very friendly, casual conversation that he was engaged in with the trooper, and it seemed to come out of left field that it was, okay, we're done with this, it's now going to be a refusal. And again, I don't want to belabor the point, but the fact that the officer incorrectly recalled a 5-minute warning after reviewing his file, I do believe is significant because he felt that it would have been appropriate under those circumstances. There should have been some indication that your time is running out and you need to make a decision fairly soon.
What is your best legal authority to support that argument?
There is not anything directly on point. What I would just come back to is the, I guess the initial case law that established the limited right to counsel, and just talking about the purpose behind this. The purpose behind the right to counsel and the implied consent advisory is to make sure somebody is making an informed decision, that they're given time to time to make that decision. And ultimately what we don't want to have happen is if we didn't have the advisory at all and you simply went back to the station and the officer looked at you and said, sir, are you going to take a test? And the answer to that question carried significant consequences. We don't want that system. We want something to happen in between, and that's why we have this. Inherent in that protection, from my view, is that we just don't want people to be surprised by the outcome of their decision. It's why you have this opportunity. And if Mr. Smoody had continued on and not been able to reach an attorney, we'd be having a different discussion. The issue is that he just had no indication that his time was running out and that he was going to be pressed to make a decision. Even when the question was asked of him, it was not apparent that his attorney time was over and that it was truly time to make the final decision. He had already answered the one question, would you like to speak to an attorney? Yes. Okay. And then later on, after casual, friendly conversation, he's asked, will you take a test? Well, I want to talk to an attorney first. Like I was just informed I had the right to do, and I would like to continue with that. That is problematic in my view. This could have been...
Counsel, what if he had, instead the officer had just said at the end of 44 minutes, time's up, will you take a test?
I do believe that's different.
Okay, so the, would the right to an attorney have been vindicated at that point in time? If the officer just said, same exact circumstances, just said, time's up. No warning, time's up.
Potentially. I think under these circumstances, given how much give and take there was between Mr. Smoody and the officer, I think maybe a warning, you know, try one more time. It would have been appropriate in these circumstances. But again, that would be a different discussion. I agree with Your Honor that that would be different. When it comes down to whether or not he refused, I don't believe that he understood that he was answering the final question at that point. But given the amount of back and forth and the fact that they were still engaged in conversation right up to the point where he asked him to take a test, I think under those circumstances, maybe a statement saying, you're going to be given one more opportunity, you know, make another phone call, something along those lines. I don't believe a driver has an obligation to tell the officer, you know, can you please be quiet for a little while so that I can make some phone calls. He was being respectful, and he was simply responding to casual questions being asked by the officer and engaged in conversation. So under those circumstances, yes, I think it's a different analysis. It certainly makes it a little more palatable. There may be some problems with that still. So if the court has no further questions for me at this time, I would simply just ask that you reverse the district court's decision, and I thank you for your time.
Any further? Thank you. No further questions at this time. Counsel for respondent.
And good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court and counsel, William Young, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the commissioner. at the outset, I'd say I don't have a whole lot to supplement what's already in the briefing, but I would address a couple points that were raised this morning by Mr. Budke. First, there's the discussion about how Mr. Smoody seemed to have been blindsided and wasn't aware of the consequences, but I think we need to take a step back. The right to counsel is a totality of the circumstances test, and at the very outset of this entire process, Mr. Smoody was read the advisory, which told him Minnesota law requires you to take a test. You have a right to consult with an attorney while making a testing decision. If you're unable to reach it, you'll have a reasonable amount of time to do so. And if you're unable to reach an attorney, you're going to have to make that decision on your own. So at the very outset, he was already advised as to how this process was going to proceed if he was unable to contact an attorney. One fact that I think really plays into the totality of the circumstances here that hasn't really been addressed today is the fact that during the final 10 to 15 minutes of the 44 minutes that Mr. Smoody had to contact an attorney, he didn't do anything. He didn't make any additional phone calls. He'd made two. The trooper said he was kind of flipping through a phone book, but he didn't make an additional phone call. He didn't do anything to show that he was continuing his search for counsel. That puts this pretty much similar to several cases that have already been decided by this court, including the Umflett case. And I would note in this court's Umflett decision, one of the facts mentioned in the decision is that during the 37 minutes in which the driver made two phone calls and then was waiting for the final 15 minutes, there were, and this quote's, I'm quoting the court here, there were interruptions in conversations between Umflett and the officer. So it's pretty similar here in that there was some ongoing communication discussion. I don't know if there was a restroom break in Umflett or not, but that wasn't dispositive for this court back in the Umflett case, and I don't think it should be here. There was, in that 10 to 15 minutes, on top of the overall 44 minutes, there's ample time for Mr. Smoody to make more than two phone calls, to keep trying, to do more than just simply waiting for another phone call. And again, during this whole time, he'd already been told, if you can't make a decision with a reasonable period of, or can't reach an attorney, you're going to have to make the decision on your own.
Do we know, Mr. Young, from the record, other than that there were no calls in the last 10 to 15 minutes, so let's say we use, you know, 10 minutes. So in the 34 minutes then that the appellant had, do we know when he made those two calls?
The record is not clear, Your Honor, on exactly when those calls were made. Unfortunately, the trooper only remembered that there were two calls made and that he only left one message during of the two phone calls. Beyond that, it's pretty sparse as to when they occurred, which call included the voicemail. I don't know if it was the first or the second. It's all not in the record, unfortunately.
Okay.
And then I would note, as to the second issue, that whether Mr. Smoody actually refused, that's a factual question that this court has said can only be reversed if clearly erroneous. And the trooper testified on page 14 that Mr. Smoody said, I'm refusing to take your test until I can talk to an attorney. For that reason, it's pretty clear that the court correctly found factually that this was an actual refusal by Mr. Smoody. Are there any questions from your honors?
I mean, we don't really have any factual findings from the judge.
The judge made all the factual findings were on the record.
Okay.
It was a senior judge that day who just wanted to do it on the spot, so he made a one-page form order but had articulated the factual findings. They begin on in the transcript. So we both argued the case orally there, beginning on page 23, and then the judge's findings begin a couple pages after that.
Okay.
Thank you. They're about page 28 or so. I'm sorry, page 27 is when the judge starts his factual findings and then ultimate conclusions of law.
Thank you. Any further questions? Right. Thank you, Mr. Young.
Thank you, Your Honors. I would just add the commissioner would ask that this case be affirmed. Thanks.
And Mr. Bucky, rebuttal?
Thank you.
I too wish that the record had been a little bit more complete. We were about 3 hours behind schedule by the time we got our case called, and everything happened on the fly. The one statement that I want to provide context for or clarify, opposing counsel just indicated that Mr. Smoody hadn't done anything during those final 10 minutes. In terms of phone calls, and I just want to emphasize that. He was not sitting silently in the room, not doing anything. He was actively engaged in conversation. And the other cases where individuals have been in somewhat similar situations, I do believe it's important to remember that the trooper testified throughout the whole hearing that Mr. Smoody was respectful. I specifically asked if he thought that he was playing games during this process. He said no, and that he was not doing anything to frustrate the purpose. Given those facts, I do believe he was blindsided by this. The statement that he was advised at the start of the implied consent process that he had a reasonable amount of time to contact an attorney, that doesn't remedy everything that happens after that. There is no legally prescribed period of time that is considered reasonable. An individual is not told, you have 15 minutes to reach a decision. He's told reasonable. And certainly if an officer is asking you about your home life, where are you from, I don't believe that a driver would feel that he was being unreasonable in taking a little bit longer. And so under those circumstances, simply telling him, you have to make a decision now, this is going to be it, try reaching one more attorney, something along those lines would have remedied that. None of that was here, although the officer did testify that he believed he did that. And again, I believe that's because during the review of his file, he felt that would have been appropriate under the circumstances. So again, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Buckey. Thank you, Mr. Young. The case has been submitted.